You're listening to a talk from VCC Backstage, where we're helping Catholics stay committed to ongoing faith enrichment, even amidst the busyness of everyday life. Each week, VCC Backstage members get inspiring and thought-provoking talks, like the one you're about to hear, delivered directly to their inbox. To learn more about how you can start your own simple and sustainable plan for ongoing faith enrichment with VCC Backstage, visit us at virtualcatholicconference.com.
Matt Lozano serves as Director of Leadership Development for Heart of the Father Ministries. He has 14 years of teaching experience and holds a master's degree in educational leadership from Villanova University and a master's degree in theology from the Augustine Institute. He and his wife, Jennifer, have five children and live in the Philadelphia area. He is the co-author of the Unbound Ministry Guidebook and Abba's Heart. In today's presentation from our 2020 Healing Conference entitled The Power of Forgiveness, Matt covers what forgiveness is, why we need it, and how to overcome certain obstacles to forgiveness. Enjoy the presentation.
My name is Matt Lozano. I'm from Heart of the Father Ministries, and I want to share a simple message with you about the power of forgiveness. One of the things I love about our ministry, which is called Unbound, is the opportunity to sit with people and hear their stories and lead them through a simple expression of forgiveness. And when people who have been holding on to resentment and bitterness for a long time, when they're finally able to say something like, in the name of Jesus, I forgive my father, or I forgive my spouse, the freedom that comes to them in and through Jesus is just profound and it's beautiful. So I want to share with you about forgiveness because it's so important in this time. Many of us are living in cycles of resentment and offense and attacking and not really letting our guard down and allowing the mercy of God to transform us. So I want to share with you about why forgiveness is important. I want to share with you what the source of forgiveness is, and then I want to help you to overcome some basic obstacles to forgiving. I want to start with Matthew 26, and in verse 26 it says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So the new covenant that Jesus established, the new basis and understanding for a relationship with God, was a cup of his blood. His blood was his life. He was pouring out his life for us. And he gave his life for the forgiveness of sins. So forgiveness is so central to the Christian gospel. You could say, if you'd sum it up in a few words, Christianity is the forgiveness of God. Jesus gave his life for the forgiveness of sins, and we can be like him, advancing his kingdom as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. That's how we're taught to pray, and we are to live as we pray. So first, I want to look at the importance of forgiveness. In Matthew 6, verse 12, Jesus teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. That's a very stern warning from Jesus about the importance of forgiveness. First, he mentions that the evil one is behind the power of unforgiveness. He teaches us not to be led into temptation. One of the great temptations is to withhold forgiveness. Now, it's not that the Father doesn't want to forgive us. He has offered us his Son for the forgiveness of sins. But when we fail to forgive from the heart, it is often the case that it blocks us from receiving the Father's love. Likewise, when we do forgive from the heart, it will release the Father's love in our hearts. Unforgiveness is also real bondage, and it subjects us to torment. Some of you have known and understood what it means to be caught in a trap of resentment, suffering greatly over many years over what someone else has done, until we make the decision to finally forgive. In Matthew 18, verse 32, it says, "The master of the unforgiving servant turned that servant over to the jailer to be tortured." It is real torment to be held in the bondage of unforgiveness. The second thing I want to go over is the source of forgiveness. When Jesus carried our sins to the cross and with his arms outstretched, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." In that moment, the power of forgiveness was released. Those words that Jesus spoke to us and over us are eternal. They're alive, and we can learn how to simply access the power of those words. You see, you're not forgiving on your own. You're forgiving with the power of Jesus and the words he spoke from the cross. If you have received forgiveness from Christ, then you are empowered to forgive through Christ. Third, let's cover some reasons why we often fail to forgive from the heart. Many people know the importance of forgiveness and they know the source, but it's very hard for them to forgive. I want to expose 5 expressions of deception that often block us from forgiving from the heart. The first one is a lack of faith. You don't believe that it's possible for you to forgive. People say, "Do you realize what they did to me, what they took from me, how hard it was for me to overcome that?" Jesus in Matthew 19, he said, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So forgiveness may seem impossible to you, and on your own strength it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Many times people come to me for ministry and say, "I don't think I can forgive. It's impossible." And I usually say, "You're right. It is impossible for you. But with God, everything is possible. And would you like to allow God the opportunity to forgive through you?" And many people are encouraged and often enter into the power of forgiveness. A second reason why we often fail to forgive is fear. We are afraid that if we forgive, we will be hurt again. Our anger and our hatred is often identified with how we have defended or protected ourselves, and we think that forgiving will leave us vulnerable. I want to be clear that forgiveness does not necessarily mean we return to an abusive relationship, nor is forgiveness the same thing as reconciliation. Forgiveness takes one person and the power of God. Reconciliation takes two people and the power of God. We do need to protect ourselves from abuse, but withdrawing from that evil does not excuse us from the responsibility, that battle, to forgive the one who brought evil to us. Forgiveness means you give up your right to hold on to an offense. It is an act of the will, not a feeling. I'll say that again. Forgiveness is an act of the will, not a feeling. A third reason why we often don't forgive is that the person that we need to forgive is ourselves. Many times we offer forgiveness and mercy to other people, and we proclaim the good news to them that they can be forgiven. But then we go home and we look in the mirror and we preach another gospel. We say things like, "You should have known better. You're such a sinner. No one could ever love you. No one could ever forgive you." And the reason we do that is we often are so disappointed in what we've done, or all the times that we've failed to fulfill our own promises. And many times it never occurs to people that they can offer the mercy of God to themselves. So we need to confess our sins. We need to repent. And we need to seek restoration when we have sinned. However, it's also important that we apply the forgiveness that has been offered to us by letting go of our own resentments, our own self-hatred, our own self-accusation. I was praying with someone once, and we've had many stories of people who haven't forgiven themselves. And one story that I remember is a woman who had lent the keys to her house to a contractor as they went on vacation, so that the contractor continued to work as they went on vacation. And when she went off, the contractor not only stole from them everything in their house, but burned the house to the ground. And when she was receiving ministry, she was led to forgive the contractor, and it was very clear through her voice and the way she did it that she actually had forgiven. But then it came time to forgive herself. And she was led to say, "In the name of Jesus, I forgive myself for being so foolish." And she just broke down and she began to weep. Because the resentment, the anger, the condemnation that she had heaped upon herself was such a heavy burden. Many of you may be carrying similar accusation and condemnation. You can let go of that by the power of Jesus. The fourth reason we often fail to forgive is a poor self-identity. What that means is that we have identified with the things that we do, our jobs, our money, many different idols in our lives. And when those things are threatened, we feel that our identity has been taken away. You see, our identity is found in Jesus Christ. We are the sons and daughters of God through Jesus, and that's who we are, the core of who we are. It's more important than anything we do or have. And so in order for us to forgive, we need to say, "In the name of Jesus, I forgive." And the I is the person you are in Christ. I had a friend who was fishing one time on a river, and his boat hit a large rock, and the boat actually flipped over. And before he went into the water, he grabbed his bag. Inside his bag was a small plastic bag that had his keys, wallet, and his phone. You know, the most important things in a modern person's life. And as he was swimming with this bag, it began to fill up with water and it began to get very heavy. In fact, it was dragging him to the bottom of the river. And in a moment, he cried out, "I'm not going to make it." And he said he began to hear the quiet voice of the Lord saying, "Let go of the bag." And at first, he didn't want to let go of the bag because he knew how much it was important to his life. Finally, he let go of the bag and he quickly swam to the shore and he was safe. What he said was, "I learned that by letting go of what I thought was my life, I was able to save my life." He thought his life was in the bag. And sometimes we need to let go of those things that we think are our lives. Some people lose their job because of a coworker, or they lose their position because someone takes it from them. And they struggle to forgive. We need to understand that the place where we can forgive is from our identity in Christ. And many of us need to know who we are first. They need to be spending time in a Christian community and people that can affirm them for who they are. Most people just need someone to listen to their story, to hear their pain, before they can make an act of the will and surrender to God and his power to forgive. The fifth reason that we often fail to forgive from the heart is a victim identity. Many of us have been victimized. You've been abused or used or deceived or harmed by various forms of injustice, and oftentimes it's by people in positions of power. Jesus himself knows what it means to be a victim. He himself was betrayed, rejected. He was falsely accused. He was tortured, and he was murdered. But Jesus never took on the identity of a helpless victim. In fact, Jesus said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. This command I received from my Father." In other words, Jesus, while he was undergoing all this abuse as a victim, never gave in to the concept that he was helpless. To the very end, he remained an obedient son. And that's the choice that we have. When we embrace a victim identity, it means that we've embraced helplessness and powerlessness, and we believe there's nothing that we can do to change. Someone else brought this upon us, and now someone else has to help us get out. Some of us use this as an excuse, and we never let go. Somebody else owes me something. Sometimes we hold on to our hurt because it's an excuse for the life that we live. The question we need to ask ourselves is this: are we going to allow what someone else has done to us determine how we live? Overcoming helplessness is the key to victory over hopelessness. Many recovering drug addicts or alcoholics have shared that when they finally took control of one area of their life, in other words, they took responsibility for their life, it led to many victories. Sometimes it began with something as simple as making the bed every morning. When we forgive, it means we take back power, we take back responsibility for our lives. I have a friend who was physically and sexually abused by her stepfather, and her brother was also horribly abused. And she often tells us this story, not because she wants pity, but because she has been aware of the grace of forgiveness in her life and how it has changed her completely. When she was very young, she told her mother about the abuse, and her grandmother and her mother talked to her. They asked her some questions, and they prayed with her. She began to experience peace, and her grandmother asked her if someday she could forgive her stepfather for what he had done. At that time, she made the decision, even as a young girl, that by the grace of God, she would forgive. And she said so much was lifted off of her that day, and she knew she was free. She understood from that moment on that there's freedom in forgiveness, that her stepfather no longer has a hold on her, and that she doesn't find her identity in being a victim. Every person has things that they need to be forgiven for, and God has provided for us all the forgiveness that we need. You see, my friend took back her power that day in Jesus' name. We have been invited into a relationship with God where we are sons and daughters. So the question remains, are we going to be victims, or are we going to be a child of God in search of our inheritance? Do you want to forgive? What's needed is willingness. The will to forgive is the most important. As I said before, it's not an emotion or an experience. It's a decision. I choose to no longer be offended. I choose to let go of my offense. I want to give you some practical suggestions for how to forgive. Number one is to find a friend. Find someone that you trust, someone who you can trust with your story, someone who will pray with you and will offer you their faith to lean on. Tell them your story. You don't have to tell them all the details, but be specific about who it is that wounded you and what they did or what they didn't do. Allow your heart to be touched by the pain. A lot of us spend our lifetime using coping mechanisms to avoid pain, but pain is trying to tell us something. It's telling us where there is a wound and where there's need for healing. Jesus wants his forgiveness to flow through your place of pain, so that it's no longer just pain or tragedy, but that it can be redeemed to something powerful and something good. You see, your place of pain will be transformed into a place of compassion. That's why St. Paul says, "My weakness is the place of his strength." After you've told your story, enter into God's presence through prayer. Jesus promises that where two or three are gathered, he is in your midst. Take some time to speak the words out loud. It's very important that we express our wills with our voices. Confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved. We don't go to a wedding and say the vows silently. When we express our vows, we often do them publicly and in front of others. And so it's important when we make these huge decisions about our lives that we speak them out loud and in the name of Jesus. That means united with Him, together with Him, and through Him. And so you say out loud, "In the name of Jesus, I forgive." Say the person's name. For, and then be as specific as possible, what they did or what they didn't do. You might say something like, "In the name of Jesus, I forgive my father for not coming to my ballet recitals. In the name of Jesus, I forgive my sister for accusing me and betraying me. In the name of Jesus, I forgive my boss for not making the workplace a safe place to be." Your friend may be able to help you by giving you some words that help you to more precisely express your pain. Finally, after you have forgiven, invite your friend to pray with you. You may need to renounce some things that you've been holding on to. And when I say renounce, I mean let go of some things. Turn against them. For example, you might say, "In the name of Jesus, I renounce bitterness or revenge. In the name of Jesus, I renounce hatred." These are some of the obstacles to forgiveness. As I said, you need two things. You need the will to forgive, and you need faith. It was the woman who reached out to Jesus and touched his cloak, saying to herself, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed." And when her faith touched Jesus, the power was released. Some of us feel that it's so hard for us to be healed, and we wonder if it could ever happen for us. But when we reach out and touch Jesus with faith, it's his power that brings about the change. How much faith do you need? Only the size of a mustard seed. Jesus said, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, it can move mountains." He also said that nothing will be impossible for you. Forgiveness may seem like a mountain, but take heart. It may seem impossible, but Jesus is more than enough. When we make an act of the will and we trust in His power and in His words when He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," the power of the cross can transform our hearts. It does not depend on our feelings. It does not depend on the size of our faith. We can simply say the words and leave the rest to God. Let me pray for you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching this video. I bless them. I thank you, Father, that they are your children and that you love them dearly. And Lord, we carry with us so many burdens, so many wounds, so many things, times we've been disappointed or hurt. And it's tempting to give up. It's tempting to lose heart. Father, I pray that by the Holy Spirit, you would release courage into everyone hearing these words. Courage to say yes to the cross. Courage to embracing your mercy for others and for themselves. I pray for the person right now who's struggling to forgive themselves, struggling to realize that the mercy of God is for them. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd convict their hearts, turn to you, and embrace the love that you have for them. I ask that you would help everyone to name specifically and that you would bring to mind all the people, all the things that need to be healed. I pray that everyone would become equipped with the power of forgiveness so that we might proclaim the goodness and the mercy of God manifest in Jesus Christ. That your cross, Jesus, would be exalted. That your words, "Father, forgive," would be heard by all. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of your most precious blood, your life poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you. Because of your blood, we have access to the Father. Because of your blood, we have become sons and daughters of the Father. I ask your blessing on everyone here in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. It's been wonderful to share this message with you. If you'd like more information about the power of forgiveness or the other five keys of Unbound, you can visit heartofthefather.com. That's heartofthefather.com for resources in our ministry. It's been a blessing and a pleasure. So God bless you.
Did you find this talk helpful on your faith journey? Feel free to share it with someone you know. And if you want to learn more about how you can get amazing talks like this delivered directly to your inbox each week, learn more about becoming a VCC Backstage subscriber at virtualcatholicconference.com.